Welcome to the Athletic MBA Show,
Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh! This is the Basketball Buzz.
Braised beef short rib?
Dang! With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm going on.
Podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network, a Christmas Carol special Christmas, unless you celebrate something else, holiday edition, and then it's that holiday edition. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Oh man, what a cast of characters we have for you today. Of course, we have Jade Hoy producing. We have the Hall of Famer, David Aldridge. We've got future Hall of Famer, Sam Amick. We've got future Hall of Famer, Trevon Edwards. We've got future Hall of Famer, Wazzy Lambert. Future Hall of Famer, Dave DeFore. Current Hall of Famer in the I Hate Fun Hall of Fame, Jay King. Did I forget anybody? I feel like I forgot somebody. Who else is there? Oh, we got the Bay Area legend, the two-time award-winning best-selling author, Marcus Thompson, who is riding high off this holiday versus between E-40 and Too Short. Marcus, let me start with you on your holiday. How was the versus for you?
First off, yes, I'm not a Hall of Famer. Is that what we're concluding? Because
you're an award winner.
Y'all can't be Hall of Famers now. You know that, right? Like it's
just different Hall of Fames, DA.
I've accepted just taking the money and not making it. I'm gonna take the deal.
See,
I'll take a buyout instead of a Hall of Fame induction. I'll do that.
Let me tell you, this versus, I love the fact that Too Short was so salty that Steph Curry and the rest of the Warriors picked E-40, that he gave Steve Kerr all of his love. Literally wore Steve Kerr's jersey, signed jersey on the battle, and FaceTimed Steph afterwards. Was like, look, see, you got the cornrows, but you ain't got the respect from the town.
Is that just the E-40 is a season ticket holder and Too Short's not type of thing? Is that like a company man type of situation?
Absolutely. I think that's it. Nah, you know what? I do think outside of Blow the Whistle, like, you know, who knows Too Short's music? Like, if you under 35, man, you don't know nothing about Freaky Tales or, you know, Dope Fiend Beat, but you know Tell Me
facts,
When to Go.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? You know all these collabs he's done. So I don't think they know Too Short is an Oakland legend, but they wasn't listening to, you know, I'm a Player and The Ghetto. They weren't even born yet. Too Short started in like 84.
Well, you know what's not Too Short? This Christmas Day schedule, guys, with 5 action-packed games. Starting off with the Miami Heat and the New Orleans Pelicans. And so
it feels like E-40 people are on this call. You get it?
Absolutely. There you go. Marcus and Holiday Farms.
Did I fail that?
No, you got it right. No, the eggnog is, I don't know who's typing. The eggnog is flowing in the Thompson household right now. It's never too early. But if we were going to do a Ghost of Christmas past, present, and future as we get into this Christmas Day schedule. We were talking about this in a chat the other night, and so obviously LeBron is the ghost of Christmas past, right? Now, it's not to say, Lakers fans, he can't be the ghost of Christmas present and future forever in a Lakers uniform.
He's finished.
Yeah, but it would be the first time someone actually called
him. You just called him the Wash King.
Wouldn't it be great if now we just leaned into it, now that he's won the championship with the Lakers? It's like, yeah, he's washed. But I think LeBron, you know, going into Waz, what year is it? Is it year 14, year, 15, 16?
This is 19? Am I making that up?
Well, 18. I think it's year 18 legally, but I think when you factor in the pandemic, it is year
18. Got you. Okay.
But that would be the ghost of Christmas past. The ghost of Christmas present would be Giannis. The ghost of Christmas future would, of course, be Luka. and then we could just call KD and Kyrie the Ebenezer Scrooge and Jacob Marley of this entire thing as they're introduced back into the Christmas spirit. So, guys, are you excited about Zion? Sam, are you excited about Zion on Christmas Day, or are you like the rest of these haters and just you're mad that the Pelicans are on national TV?
Man, I was excited. I think if it was last year, I might have been more excited. I feel like Zion is, you know, we've seen these kind of the metamorphosis of his body already, which is a little much to process early on, you know, bubble Zion and rookie year Zion and coming off injury Zion. And so, like, for me, the enthusiasm is not as clean as it was a year ago, if that makes any sense. Like, the anticipation of who he is and what he can do. And I mean, but it'll be fine, you know, and I get it. And it never gets old kind of seeing the transparency of the NBA's marketing machine on Christmas Day. Like, it is never truer than that particular day, you know, and you get to really pull the curtain back on how they make their cheese and how they prioritize certain stars and how the cookie is made. But I mean, it's fine. You know, it's not what I probably would have drawn up, but it'll be fun.
I want there to be an anti-Christmas on ABC and ESPN. Like, on the 26th, maybe they do the anti-Christmas lineup. You know, you start off with Charlotte at Indiana, and then you go Wizards Orlando, you know. Detroit, Minnesota.
Small market prime time.
Yeah. That's what.
No. Go ahead and call that the Kwanzaa lineup.
not
quite as celebrated lineup. Oh, Lord.
Well, isn't that go. Just league pass?
But I'm actually with Sam in a way, because I think Zion's injury kind of sucked a lot of fun out of it, because he just hasn't been able to catch his wind yet, right? Like, in the bubble, he was literally just dragging his back leg down the floor. Like, he didn't sprint one time the entire, you know, 7 games that it was that he was down there in Orlando. So I'm kind of just like, wake me up when this kid gets a personal trainer. But I'll definitely be interested in watching Luka, because I think he's going to kill people this year. And he's going to do it without KP, and he's going to prove to people that, like, he's who people think Giannis is.
Wow. Whoa. Hold on.
Wow.
Waz just drops that in there like, you know, I'm going to throw this grenade and walk away. You mean, so Luka thinks he is the 2-time reigning MVP. Or
no,
people think that Luka should have been. Or he's on the same level.
So Waz is saying Luka should have been the MVP.
I was so confused. I was so caught off guard by Waz's statement.
Dave, you're just confusing me right now, man.
I just think, you know, I just think Luka's big time in both seasons. That's
fair.
That's just me.
I mean, hold on. Giannis just won MVP and Defensive Player of the Year, not by accident. It wasn't an accounting error.
No, he's saying Giannis is an 82-game player, not a 16-game player. I see exactly what he's saying.
Well, hold on. So,
you know, and hold on.
No, that's Wozni Lambre.
I know I'm going to get some flack for this. It's like, do an MVP for the third time, and then do it again in the playoffs. Well, right? Sam, like, that's where I'm at with it. That's where I'm at with this Giannis stuff. Bucks fans, I'm happy you guys got your guy for another 5 years, hopefully, or 6 years, including this one. But, like, man, kick some ass in the playoffs. Well,
so
man.
This is a confusing turn, and Sam, I guess I didn't know that Luka had signed with Clutch Sports with Waz doing this. Maybe you can confirm that news from Waz? I don't know.
I don't know. I got Christmas Day marketing figured out. I can't figure out how to translate Waz right now. As an aside, and this, I don't want to get off topic too much, I love that, like, the whole construct of this player thinks he's that player is now a thing. I just spent 90 minutes with True Hoop family member Tom Haberstroh on his pod with your guy Amin, breaking down De'Aaron Fox and Ja Morant. So I guess this is the new, you know, analysis vehicle that we're using. But no, Waz, you gotta kind of translate this thing for yourself.
No, what I'm saying is, like, everybody thinks Giannis... Well, and I used to be one of those people that Giannis is the future of the league. He's going to be the next dominant guy in the playoffs. And he's like, God, how do I beat this team in the playoffs? Because they have Giannis on it. How people would do with LeBron and other great players in the past. I don't think that's the case with Giannis. I don't think anybody thinks to themselves, what are we going to do when we play the Bucks in the playoffs? I think that's going to be Luka one day.
I got you.
And I think that's LeBron right now, right? Like, I just don't think that's going to be the case for Giannis. I maybe call me a ship jumper or whatever. Maybe call me reactionary. I just don't see that.
You're
for
reacting
him.
To an ugly playoff finish, which is fair, and one that left you wondering, like, how did they not evolve from the year before?
Well, that's okay. He's the best player. He's got the you know, the burden to be great in the playoffs. It's a burden. But I think if you go back and look, I mean, they did call Magic Johnson Tragic Johnson after the 84 finals. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's not like this. He's not the first great player who had his greatness questioned. Now, most of the great ones come back.
Steph Curry has entered the chat.
Yeah.
what were they saying about LeBron before he went to Miami?
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, and even after 2010, that was there. But, I mean, I think it's a little different. But, yeah, I understood for sure. I mean,
remember when Woz called Tim Duncan a statue?
In year 17 of his career when he was a statue? Like, that was actually true, man.
No, it's okay.
But for real, though, to back up Woz, what is Giannis's playoff like moment?
That's okay. Like, what's that's right. No, I mean, that's, you know, there is, I mean, none.
We watched Luka do 43-17-13 and hit the game winner. Like, we at least did. Got
in a first round that. In a first round series, yes.
In a first round series in the bubble.
That he lost.
Why you gotta bring up old stuff?
In a series his team didn't win, by the way. But you know, it's all good. It's all love. I don't hate on anybody. I think your point is valid on Giannis. There is a hole in his resume that he has yet to fill, which is postseason greatness. He hasn't done it yet.
And I don't think it's fair to compare him, what he's done, to what LeBron did either. Like, LeBron faced some of the same criticism, but he was dragging teams that had no business being deep in the playoffs to the finals even.
Don't be talking about Boobie Gibson like that now.
Like Sasha Pavlovich, Boobie Gibson, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, Anderson Varejao. Those were the best players he was playing with during that span. Antoine Jamison. Like, not even on Chris Middleton's level. And I think the last couple of years, the Bucks had enough to win the East. And they didn't even come close. And
Hold on. Jay, I can't allow this to go on any longer, okay? Giannis, for an entire series, put up 30 points, 16 rebounds, 6 assists, and shot 59% from the field. Now, granted, it was against the Magic, but... still, 30-16-6, you know, against Vucevic and, you know, maybe Bo Outlaw was there. I don't remember.
Shut down Orlando Magic. Yeah.
But like LeBron's teams were out. They were exceeding their talent level. And I'm not sure the Bucks have, especially last year. The Miami one was a real head scratcher. Toronto, you can say they had Kawhi. They had a deeper team filled with tons of super intelligent.
Yeah, they should have beat Toronto.
Maybe, but like, I can get losing to Toronto. The Miami one, like, if you are who people think Giannis is, you've got to win that series.
I love it, Jay.
Luka would have won that series.
I told you for months the Heat were going to beat the Bucks in the playoffs, and you would not listen to me, and you called me foolish, and you laughed at me when I told you again right before the series started, and you still doubt the Miami Heat being a better team than the Bucks.
But that's the thing about being an analyst. Like, when you're wrong, you can just blame Giannis for not being who people thought he was.
There you go, JT.
Don't give away trade secrets. Don't give away the secrets. Let's go to the Warriors-Bucks game, speaking of Giannis. And for Sam and for Marcus, are we going to see a good Warriors team this year? Because now I'm starting to get worried.
I'm gonna go ahead, Marcus.
I mean, step backs from Andrew Wiggins, is that what we're talking about? Or I think the big thing is we don't know, which is adding to intrigue. And I'm not listening to all your the Warriors this, the Warriors that. If you were complaining about the Warriors ruining the league, then you need to embrace the fact that now we have no idea what we're going to get. You can't have it both ways. This is what you wanted, a Warriors team that you were uncertain about. Will Kelly Oubre shoot 38% from three? I don't know. Is James Wiseman the future center star? Who knows? Is Draymond going to be Draymond again? We just don't know. This is the uncertainty that has been absent for 5 years minimum, six probably. So I have no idea what's going to happen. I think Steph will average about 28. He'll face crazy defense. They'll just try to shut him down. And we'll see if Andrew Wiggins can carry him. Like, that's pretty much the game right there.
Yeah, Sam, before you go, what do you think of the Warriors as we see them Tuesday night? We see them for Christmas. What are you expecting this year?
Like Marcus said, it's a total mystery. Draymond's got to get back. Like, the margin for error is so thin already that they need a healthy Draymond, a non-COVID Draymond. But I don't know. I mean, I'm starting to think, if we're talking just prediction time, I mean, it would not shock me to see them in the play-in tournament, you know, pushing to try to get in these playoffs. Because I think every time we talk about the West, we always forget to actually tabulate and go down the list of good teams that I can tell you with much more confidence who they are now than right. I can the Warriors. That's my big thing. And you see, you know, I mean, three preseason games and two of them against the Kings don't tell you anything considering who was out, especially, but watching Steph basically be Steph and then getting reminded that that only takes you so far is, if you're a Warriors fan, that's where you got to be worried about, like, man, we're not going to be on the sideline in the first round, are we? But I think, you know, that would be the floor, is they fall out of the playoffs. And then, you know, I mean, if they were a 4-5 team, that would surprise me. And I'd be, you know, really, you know, that'd be a thumbs up for them.
All right, as Sam, Steve Kerr likes to say, run. This is the real NBA. This right. is the real NBA.
Right. That's what it right. really looks like.
Yep. Right.
I hope the Warriors fans listen to this, because they creamed me on Twitter for suggesting that the Warriors wouldn't make the playoffs. Like, I mean, well, again, I guess the play-in game is the playoffs.
No, you know what? No, I've decided we're not calling the play-in tournament. We're not calling it the playoffs. You have to get
Start
in.
James,
you got to get into
man.
The first round. Okay? Like, we're not saying, hey, we made the playoffs because we were the ninth seed and we made the play-in tournament. No. You got to get into the first round and face the one seed, and that's the playoffs. All that other shit is just ancillary. Like, that's, we're not doing that.
But Warriors fans think they're about to be a fourth seed. Steph and Draymond are going to lead the way, and Andrew Wiggins is going to be great for the first time in the history of his career.
Well, that's
career,
how Steph wins the MVP, though. You know. If they're the fourth seed, it means Steph is averaging like 40 a game.
He'll have 40 tonight, and there'll be a third seed, is what we read every day.
Now, listen, no. So here's the part that, you know, if I understand what Warriors fans are saying, right? You're looking at these teams, and if you just look at, like, who's supposed to be third, who's the fourth best team in the West? If you say Portland,
Denver,
they wax Portland every year. If you say Dallas, you'd be like, Dallas is just as unproven. Like you got the Lakers, you got the Clippers, you got Denver. Nobody's talking that. But if you're the Warriors fan,
Marcus, I'm on your side. Marcus, I'm on your side on this one. Like, I got faith. I like a
it's
hungry.
Like, it's like
Kelly
they
Oubre.
Added Robert Covington, and suddenly Portland is unbeatable. Well, like, you think Warriors fans believe that?
All those Warriors teams that killed Portland, was there a light skinned guy named Clay on those teams?
He was there, but in the West Finals, it wasn't that big of a. He didn't play that well.
Not in those West
in the West finals.
Finals,
that was Steph and Draymond.
Not in those
Steph
West
and
Finals.
Draymond took them apart by himself.
In OKC West
defense,
Finals,
though? Did he play defense?
He showed up.
Yeah, OKC. Right. Yeah,
honest question.
DA made a point.
Marcus and Trey, honest question. How many NBA rotational players on the Warriors right now? Like, honest to goodness truth. And if you're giving me the Pascal dude as one of them, I rest my case, man. Like, one guy is a freaking rookie. He's probably going to play like 30-something minutes a game at your big man position. And rightfully so, right? You use the number two pick on Wiseman. You should play him. Like, you should figure out what his development process is going to be. But he's not going to be a good NBA player this year. He's a rookie.
Rookies almost never contribute in a positive way.
Right. Like, on balance, he's going to be bad. I mean,
but we're talking about Steve Kerr starting Damian Jones at one point in time, bro. I'll take Wiseman and see what he can do.
I mean, I've Kevin Durant with him this time, but yeah. They've had worse centers, that's for sure.
Yes.
Do you
so we'll
is Kent Bazemore rotational player?
Yeah, I think he's there. I think Baze is still a rotational player. Sure.
Baze.
On a good team?
On a good team. I don't think he's like, is Kavan he's not your third best player. He's like your eighth best player. That's a rotational player.
Oh, man.
What about Kevon Looney?
I mean,
he's rotational.
What about Brad Wanamaker?
I think his ship sailed.
He's good.
I like Brad.
Yeah, he's good. He can play.
I mean,
these are all dudes coming off the bench. Right. These are all bench guys.
So today,
I'm not saying it's the Warriors' greatness.
They're going to win the West, Marcus? We got to win the West?
No. What y'all are talking, you keep saying, I mean, you're talking about rotational players. That's not the issue. The issue is who are their starters?
The issue is top players. Yeah, that's
who
the
are the five guys that are going to play 35 minutes a night? That's the question that the Warriors have this year.
That's their problem.
It's not their bench. The bench is fine. The bench is an NBA bench. I mean, those three or four guys are just like everybody else's three or four guys coming off the bench. The question is, who's starting? Who's playing?
I'm just saying, Waz, you got to understand that they've watched the Warriors, like even before Kevin Durant beat these teams. They've watched them. They've watched them. So they're.
But Marcus, Klay Thompson was there.
Klay Thompson was not this Klay Thompson in 2015. He wasn't this guy. Let's not act like this dude was a Hall of Fame, all NBA player.
Okay, hold on. 2015 Klay Thompson or Kelly Oubre? It's not close. 2015 Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins. It's not close.
What about 2014 Klay Thompson? What about 2013 Klay Thompson?
Andre Iguodala. I'll take that Klay. 2015 Andrew Bogut. These guys are way better than anybody on this
team. Andrew Bogut. They are.
That is a valid point.
Iggy is better than every player on this team.
Klay Thompson is better than every player on the team. Absolutely.
Yes.
I'm telling you why what you're saying is being Warriors reacted. They're saying like, yo, Portland is so much better than them. And why would Warriors fans think Dallas is so much better? Why would they think that?
Fair. Wait, but wasn't Portland, before Yusuf Nurkic broke his leg, Portland was the 3 seed every single year, right?
You think they're worried about – they just swept them in the West Finals.
It's not about that. You had a much different team.
I'm not arguing with that. I got them at best a 6 seed.
Also, Wiseman is a starter now.
You got to understand why this doesn't add up and why it doesn't compute. It's not delusion.
But why do I have to understand faith in Andrew Wiggins? You can't make me understand
that. No, the faith is in Steph and Draymond. Of course they're going to ride with Steph and Draymond. I'm just saying it's not. You can write it off as Homer delusion. It's not. They literally watch them, like you're saying, for instance, who is Dame and CJ Garden on the Warriors? They have never been able to stop the Warriors. They have never been able to stop Steph. So now they're going to stop. Is that problem solved? No, that's what I'm saying. If you think it from their perspective.
In this construction, yes. I think this is a very solvable offense.
You might be right, but I'm just saying it's not delusion. It's what they've watched for six or seven years.
It's delusion. It's delusion.
I'm so excited to see Steph this year because it's going to be so different for him.
Yeah, I don't think the
Warriors, it wasn't just a talent with them. It was that everybody they had in their rotation knew how to play basketball and was super high-level basketball intellect and knew how to play with all his movement and find him and get him relocating off the ball. They don't have that this year. They don't have guys who have Iguodala's mind, who have Sean Livingston's mind. And those were guys coming off the bench.
Or Bogut's
mind. Even with Bogut's mind, exactly.
Yeah.
And so now it's on Steph to figure this out and make other
Steph in the preseason. He's shooting 15 threes per 36.
Yeah, he's going to get roughed up like crazy. If you're anybody, you're like, just take away Steph.
Yeah, that's what I'm
And
that's another thing, guys. Remember when, you know, people were really skeptical about the Lakers last year because, and the truth was, LeBron and Rondo were the only two people on that team that knew how to dribble a basketball, right? And it's like, wait, is LeBron just going to do that all day, every day, every game? And he did. Like, he went out, he did it. He led the league in assists, all this other stuff. Has Steph ever had to do that? Even when they were winning championships and he was getting MVPs, it wasn't this run a bunch of pick and rolls with Steph every possession and he's just straight up shouldering the burden of the whole offense. They currently made it so that it was a, you know.
It's not true. It's just not true. No. I love you. It's not true. Now, were they the number one seed? No, but this is what I'm saying. People, everything is being compared to Durant.
Right.
You telling me when they beat Denver in the first round series, Klay was not that good. David Lee was the second best player, and he got hurt in the first game, and they were done. It was all Steph. That's all it was. It was Steph. Yeah,
true.
The next year after that.
True.
Now, how we forget, Marcus.
But why, up to your point, like the best of that was the sixth seed.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
It wasn't
right,
like.
But I'm just saying, like, Steph really has to come out here and do
They're not going to be a top three team. Like, that's over. That's done.
Yeah.
They're a team that could try to make the playoffs. That's what they're trying to do.
Right.
Yeah, they can
maybe
make the playoffs.
They could be Westbrook MVP season.
And I watched that team, and they, you know, they were competitive in the first round. I think you take competitive in the first round, right? Right now?
Absolutely.
If you're Golden State,
absolutely.
Yes.
Here's a question.
They were competitive with Houston in the first round of that series. They didn't win it, but they were competitive. So I think that's what Golden State's got to shoot for this year. Let's get in and see what we can do in the first round, depending on who we play.
Absolutely.
I really think that's the kind of ceiling this year.
Or not get in and get two
lottery
picks.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What's the worst?
Run it back.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
What's the worst that's going to happen?
Like, hey, 11 seed wouldn't be the absolute worst outcome.
Yeah, right. You know? No, you're right.
That would be
a great
outcome.
Yo, Marcus, if they don't dump all of those regular season games to the Wolves to try to bump that record up just a little bit, because that's going to be a bad team.
I don't care.
You got to make sure they're outside the top.
If they started with the Wolves, I'm losing the opener. Like, it doesn't even matter. You're losing the Wolves.
You have
games,
to throw
no
that
matter
game.
What.
You got
to
make sure that that pick isn't in the top three.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23. For a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
All right. What about the other side of that game, the Bucks? Do we want to say nice things about the Bucks now that they've re-signed Giannis? Or is it just wait and see? I think we need to see if the Drew Holiday lack of depth really does hurt them. I think that it probably won't.
Lack of depth.
Yeah, I think it probably won't.
They just got Augustine and Bobby Portis and Torrey Craig. Like, what lack of depth?
I mean, you just said Bobby Portis.
Yeah. It's a different
Bobby
team.
Bobby Portis is good.
Bobby Portis can score. I don't know what y'all talking about.
Bobby Portis is so good. This was
put
the
ball
they did,
in the basket
right?
So they on went, every team he's been on, including the Knicks, for that matter. So
they went in on one-way guys. So they went in on Bobby Portis. They got Torrey Craig. Like, that's great, but they are definitely one-direction players. And I think
all of those guys can knock down shots and give up open threes, which is the Bucks' MO.
Right. That's what they do right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. They fit.
Yeah, that was what they did anyway, and they needed buckets off the bench. So
I think the Bucks are exactly what we said at the beginning. It's about what does Giannis bring back this year to get them past the first round? And that's unfair to Giannis, but that's what happens when you're the guy. You get the unfair treatment. It's unfair that Michael Jordan had to make Granville waiters better, but that's the gig. That's the gig. Now, can you do it?
Is that a blues singer? Granny Waiters.
Yes.
Sounds like a...
the bald-headed Granny Waiters.
Is that a blues singer?
You know?
That's what it sound like to me.
That's the burden of being the best player. You get the unfair assignment along with all the glory. So...
Did everybody catch Waz counting Giannis's money just now? Yes, if it's
question, yo.
Listen, you get $50 million a year, fam. Like, this is what comes with it. Like, you gotta show and prove at this point. That's just how it goes. Like, that's literally what the money is for.
Okay, but Waz, we're not talking about Giannis is all right at this, but there's one thing he doesn't do. He doesn't shoot the ball. That's what he doesn't do. There's nothing else he doesn't do great. He does everything else great on both ends.
No. He's a great
So that's all we're talking about.
I'm not
he's
got to
shoot
that.
Better. Period. End of sentence. You got to shoot better. That's it. There's nothing else. There's nothing else he doesn't dominate at. So he's got to be a better shooter.
And what they got to do as well, DA, and we can get into the rest of the Bucks, because, you know, it's funny. I'm making the jokes about Giannis not being who we thought he was and all of that. But, like, I really think this team is deeply flawed, right? Like, because I could see the future. I think they're going to fail this year again. And it's because they don't have enough on the construction of the roster is not such that they're going to be able to advance. And I think that because... it's going to be the same. They're not going to do anything different.
Well, so one thing I would say, they have an adult at point guard. Like, having Drew Holiday there, I do think that fixes it. Like, he's a massive upgrade over Eric Bledsoe. A massive upgrade, right? Because he's not afraid to score. He's not afraid to shoot. He can shoot. And he's just as good defensively, if not better.
And he's also a wet blanket. You're not doing nothing on his end.
Yeah.
He taking the rock straight up. Like, it ain't, and I think that's gonna motivate, that's gonna help Giannis, but also motivate the guys.
But is Drew Holiday gonna be initiating offense in games that matter in nut crunching time?
They got DJ Augustine too, though, bro. Come on.
I guess.
But their offense,
I would love to be proven wrong on this.
I have issues with their defense. I think their defense is where, and it's mostly coaching the scheme. I think that's where their shortcoming is. And because as we've seen, like, they just don't adjust, and they keep saying, oh, yeah, okay, we'll adjust this time. And then they don't do it.
Like, Brook Lopez is still one of your five best players. So I'm assuming he's going to play, right? And so how does that change the context of your defense in any way whatsoever? And then on offense, when it's Giannis trying to juke guys 30 feet from the basket to get your biggest buckets, in important games. I don't know. Sorry, God, that doesn't get me excited, you know?
Yeah, but if you're not spreading the floor with Eric Bledsoe, like, there is a change in that, right? Like, teams
right,
are
there's
legitimately
a better path,
yeah,
right.
There's a better path. Now, there's still issues. You still have to scheme for it better, but I do think that's having that dude. And like Trey said, I mean, yeah, like, Drew Holiday, yo, we love Dame, right? Dame's a killer. He's sending teams home left and right. Like, Drew Holiday ate his lunch in a 4-game sweep. Like, ate his lunch.
Killed
like
him.
The big bad Damian Lillard.
Killed
like,
him.
Destroyed
him. He did.
Yes.
Killed him. Killed him. Period. End of sentence. Killed him. Now, he was playing with Anthony Davis behind him, too. But he killed him. He did kill him.
Yeah, but yes.
But D.A., he's about to play with Giannis, too. So
yes,
I think
yes,
it's a support.
No, I think you're under. Yeah, I would say don't sell Jrue Holiday short. because that right. dude can go. And if he couldn't go, Denver wouldn't have been trying to get him for the last year and a half. All right. Yeah. And they got right. and they got Kyler Murray and they got Jamal Murray. So, yeah. Right. So, but to your but it's fair. Look, all of it's fair until you shut people up. So until they get to the NBA finals, they you can view them as suspect legitimately. I don't think it's ridiculous to say, hey, they've got some flaws that need to be addressed until they address them.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know what just dawned on me, guys? I wonder if we would be having more fun. Because I know we're in the, like, sensitivity era, and we realize, a lot of people realize that there was something wrong with the way people reacted to, you know, LeBron going to the Heat or whatever. But wouldn't it be more fun if people were just angry at Giannis and the Bucks? Just pissed and, like, calling people's moms prostitutes again and going crazy? Like, wouldn't that be more fun?
Throwing batteries on the court.
Throwing batteries, yeah.
Like, wouldn't that just make this more interesting? Or am I just a psychopath?
Now I don't I mean, really know what you're talking about here, Wes. Like, I don't really know what possibility you could be alluding to here.
It also shows how hypocritical we all are. To other times. The whole Giannis conversation shows how hypocritical we all are. Like, LeBron got blasted for leaving Cleveland. KD got blasted for going to the Warriors. Giannis signs with a team that has done not much in the playoffs. Resigns with them, and nobody really walked around and said, you know what, that's cool that Giannis did that. That's cool that he signed up for this fight, and it's going to be a fight.
Well, to be fair, Dave, we were distracted by James Harden partying in Vegas and Atlanta at that exact moment, that's right? True. I think if James Harden had just shown up to camp and then we get the Giannis news, I think we freak out a little bit more about it.
Or maybe we all just learned. Maybe we all figured out that our behavior sure. was not that's acceptable. What we do. And we that's grew what we as a society. People.
Yep, absolutely.
No, it's swung the other way, though, like the discourse has. It has really gone to, if you don't leave the team that hasn't won a title yet, then you don't care about winning a championship.
Tend to agree.
It really has gone that far.
You know, and I struggle with this because I've been thinking about it too. And
I mean, think about our Gobert conversation the other day. Utah's likely never winning a finals. And that doesn't matter because being good is fine.
But, you know, part of me is like, championships have to matter. Right? Like, it has to, we have to make it a big deal. That, like, that's the point of what we're doing here. And so we absolutely need to be celebrating the people who win the championships. Like, that's what we're doing here. But at the same time, right? Like, do we just crap all over people who are second round exits? Like, it's hard. I'm struggling with this.
The people who are trying hard too. There's like this thing. And I mean, this happened with Houston, where they were branded losers for making a conference finals a couple of years in a row and losing to the greatest team we've ever seen.
But hold on. It was the way they lost, though.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, still, come on.
Now, certainly, like, but you still got there, right?
Said, I mean, still.
That's like saying,
well, we're watching the 30 for 30 later in 40 years. Okay, we'll be talking about how the Rockets pushed that team like no team did. That's what we'll say.
Will we? Hold on.
That's
hold
a
on.
Fact. That's a fact.
But that's what we're we'll not doing say that when be in the Wardell documentary.
Van Vliet lights up the Bucks 2 years ago, okay? We're not doing that stuff, right?
We're like, hey,
at least the Bucks got there.
I mean, wasn't that the second round? Like,
I mean,
that was a conference finals. I mean,
that was conference finals.
No, it was a conference finals.
They were up 2-0. Yeah, in the series.
It was a conference finals.
All right, it's time for me to once again point out, as I do forever and ever and ever, there has never been competitive balance in the NBA ever in the history of the league. 74 champions since the league began. And 46% of those championships have been won by two teams. Two! So please stop with it. If you don't win a championship, it doesn't mean anything. That's nonsense.
It's nonsense. Ten
exactly.
teams of.
Thank you.
Go, ten go teams. Crazy,
ten. Ten. No,
for
10
once,
teams
I'm not the angry
have won
Dave on 84%
of all the championships in the history of the NBA. There's,
and two of them
there's
are Lakers.
Never been competitive balance. The notion that this is a democracy and everybody gets a chance to win a title is bullshit. Okay? Total.
Well, we just found our audiogram.
God, I'm so tired of saying this.
I love you.
Well, speaking of,
that
the
was
Nets
epic.
And the Celtics are the other game. And the Nets have provided us with a lot of fun off-the-court stuff. But, Trey, will they provide us with the proper fun on-the-court stuff? With Kyrie and KD?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. Yeah, I think... The biggest test is going to be sharing the ball, especially during close games in the fourth quarter. Who's going to take the last shot? You got a new lineup between Kyrie, Spencer Dinwiddie at mm-hmm. the two, Joe Harris at the three, new Kevin Durant at the power forward position on the Eastern Conference, and then DeAndre Jordan, and then Caris LeVert coming off the bench.
How do they possibly have DeAndre and, still start? That dude is terrible. I know he's friends
hey,
with KD, but you got to throw Jared Allen in there.
He wears great hats, though, Zach. So
he wears great hats, and he's plant-based, bro. He's plant-based. So
well,
he
should
be
plant
better.
His ass by the rim know. And block a shot every
wow,
once in a while. How about
that's
that?
Cold. That's cold.
But as of right now, like Steve Nash said, that he plans to not have Kevin Durant have a heavy load on the yes. defensive end. And then also, which I'm interested to see how that is, since defense is one of their biggest issues right now, as what he stated. And then also, again, in that last minute situation, does Kyrie take the last shot and look off KD, or does Spencer Dinwiddie try to do some heroic things? I don't know, but it's going to be very testy for Steve Nash to make these adjustments and draw up the right plays for the right guys to make the right play. So. It's going to be more entertaining, but I'm loving the Sage right now. I'm loving the extra microscope that the Nets are going to have throughout this year. And yeah, man, I'm ready for it on court and
Trey,
off court.
You know who taking that shot. Come on. You know who taking the shot.
Oh, I mean, obviously it's going to be Kevin, but you know, oh, shouts to Joe Harris, you know.
I have a question.
You know, I'm a big supporter of guys that look like they hooped at 24 hours. So. Shout out to Joe Harris.
Yeah,
bro.
he's definitely a YMCA hooper in like Rockaway or something. I want to ask Jay King this actually because he's our resident Boston guy. And I know I do the Danny Ainge thing a lot, so I got to stick to my bit.
Oh boy.
But I remember us calling him, you know, the Boston, oh my God, they did this crazy fleecing of the Nets and this, and it was so genius and blah, 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 blah. Have the Celtics, since that trade, ever put together a team that's better than Brooklyn this year, who they allegedly fleeced?
That's a good question. First of all, they definitely fleeced the Nets. Like, they absolutely fleeced the Nets. The Nets got... nothing out of that.
It was
trade.
A bad trade.
And,
yeah, it was a bad
and
trade.
The Celtics ended up with Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum.
Hold on, you talking about a year and a half of KG and Paul Pierce is nothing?
Hey, Jason Terry was there too. Let's not forget. And whatever Darren Williams sideburns are.
But I think you're right. Like getting Kyrie and KD together and just getting Kevin Durant overall is that the Nets have a chance to be better than any Boston team since that trade. I think that's absolutely fair. I think the Celtics, like, they set themselves up in a position where they were going to have a lot of swings at it, and some of those have been swings and misses. They got Kyrie. That did not work out. They lost Al Horford. They lost Gordon Hayward. Now they're kind of building around Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, obviously, and how they really get judged will be by whether they can win a championship with those guys. And if they do, then that trade was a massive success. I think it's a massive success anyway, because it set them up in a great position. Look, so many things have gone wrong for them from the departures and everything like that. And they still have a really talented young core, and they just got to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. So there are two sides of it. But yeah, The Nets are loaded.
You know, Hollinger actually made a great point in a column he wrote. It was about OKC. And he said Boston is in the same boat, is that you actually can have too many draft picks because you have to use them on something, right? Like you have to do something with them. Yeah. So you either try to move up and you hope that guy – and look, they offered – What's the story? 4 first round picks so they could take Frank Kaminsky, right? I mean, that was the deal. That's what they offered, right? So, I mean,
it would have been Justice Winslow, yeah.
You got to know when to hold up.
Yeah.
Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away. And know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting. When the dealing's done.
Okay. All right. Justice Winslow. Same point, right? So you have, so 4 draft picks for Justice Winslow. And I'm not saying they would have been wrong to do it, but his point, which I think is a valid one, which is at some point you have to cash these picks in for something. Like you can't just keep floating them down the river. At some point you have to do what we all presume OKC, which is going to do at some point, which is offer 6 first round picks for, you know, superstar du jour, you know, unhappy superstar du jour, whoever that is in 3 years, right? So, I mean, I think Boston kind of got caught in that a little bit.
You know, DA, and obviously there it's better to do, it's definitely better to do what OKC is doing, what Boston had done, than what the Knicks perpetually do, which is say, go to hell, the future, and just completely kneecap any vision or long-term thinking at every single turn. Like, obviously, what the Knicks do and have been doing for 20 years is stupid and you shouldn't do it. I just have a knee-jerk reaction to asset accumulation a means unto itself.
It's a complete cop-out.
It gets talked about in our business. It's
a complete cop-out by people who don't want to do anything. I mean, that's the cop. Right. I shouldn't say everybody does that. But a lot of teams absolutely was hide behind, well, we've got flexibility.
We've got this. What? We've got the future. We've got this.
Well, yeah, and I think Ainge got caught because I think the main goal was like, I'm going to go get AD or whoever that AD equivalent is with all this stuff. And then by the time it came down to AD one and out, he was like, I'm not going to Boston.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go there. Right. I don't want to play there. And then Ainge is kind of like, I don't know what to do.
And I think, right? Sadly, like, I think OKC's going to be in the same boat. It's going to be, they're going to have to be very selective in who they try to get. I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm. I think Zach's criticism is the right one of the Celtics' plan is that they did go use picks. They went and got Kyrie. They just went after the wrong star, a star who didn't help them take that next step. Mm-hmm. And their plan obviously was Anthony Davis. By the time he got around, like, he was like, you know what? I'm not going there. And so they had the wrong plan. And they wanted to cash in those chips,
that have been traded.
They just looked at the wrong guys.
They missed out on Jimmy Butler.
But they were trying to get Jimmy Butler. I give them credit. They were trying. Right. It's not like they didn't try. Yeah. They did try to get Jimmy Butler, right? So,
And I think that they were going to try to get Anthony Davis until that situation. Yeah. So, I mean, it's tough. It's a hard job. And they did draft Jason Tatum.
And most of the people that wanted them to get Jimmy Butler or Paul George, like, they would have had to give up Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. And so it's like, you can criticize them because they did have this huge, huge pile of assets and haven't built a team that's gotten to the finals yet. But I think it's more about like they went all in on Kyrie and Anthony Davis, and that just didn't work out for them.
All right. What about Luka, LeBron? Waz, I will defer to you here because I know this is your dream matchup of your two favorite stars here in the NBA. We get that on Christmas. How excited are you for Luka and LeBron? City sidewalks,
busy sidewalks. Yeah, I'm just really excited to watch Luka just evolve into the player he's going to be, right? It's kind of crazy because it's different from LeBron in the sense that LeBron was like marrying his whatever his smarts are for basketball with his crazy athleticism and all of that. Whereas Luka is kind of like, He's there. He's there.
Silver as far as bells. Understanding the game, he just has to shoot better.
Silver
so
bells.
It's going to be fun to watch him navigate.
It's Christmas time in the city.
And all of this stuff on the margins while his shot gets ring better. That's what I'm most excited about.
Hear them ring.
As far as understanding the game, he just has to shoot better. So it's crazy. It's going to be fun to watch him navigate that and just get better and better at all of this stuff on the margins while his shot gets better. That's what I'm most excited about. And I want to see how, you know, how he's able to manage being the ultra high usage guy, or as Seth Part now called, heliocentric. Is that what it's called, Dave? I always forget it. But like where the offense revolves around you 24/7. Is he going to be able to get his teammates to actually still like playing?
Oh, the Deion Waiters model. That's what you mean.
Well, I think the other side of this is Trae Young, where guys were pissed at him allegedly last year for how much he used the ball.
Who else
and I'm
is
like,
supposed to do something?
All these
Luka
other dudes
does stuff
suck.
Off the ball, though.
What the hell?
Luka does stuff off the ball.
Yeah, because they have he a system. Screens. Like they didn't yeah. have that. Like, they don't. And also, Luka's 6'8. Like, Trae's like 6'1, right? Like, I mean, you want Trae Young going around setting screens? Like, to me, that's crazy. Like, move off the ball for sure, but they also didn't
Trae Young
anybody.
has to find some off-ball utility for sure. Because everybody hates playing with him. But I don't think Luka's going to have that problem.
Well, and they have Rajon now, right? They have Bogdan. Like, Gallo can play make. Like, they have guys who can help him with that. So if he doesn't do it now, okay, then I think the criticism is valid. But I look at that Hawks team last year, I'm like, who the fuck else is supposed to do something on this team? He didn't have anybody.
Oh, yeah, this will be the first time he's playing with, like, basketball players that are at least as good as him or better, right? In some of the guys' cases. So, I mean, and I'm including his year of college. So it's going to be interesting to see if this is what we've seen is the actual Trae Young, or if he is actually willing to play off the ball without pouting.
I'm so excited to see Marc Gasol on the Lakers. Like this idea that you could give him the ball. You could give him the ball and then have him just hold it while LeBron and AD go set screens for each other and then just react off that. Like that is just like, that's going to be basketball pornography because there's nothing you can do. I don't know how anyone stops that.
They're good.
Yeah.
They're really effing good.
Sometimes that's all you need to see. Yeah.
That's kind of how I felt like this whole time, you know, and talking about the season coming up, you get to the Lakers and it's like,
I think they're probably going to be pretty good.
They can be as good during the regular season as they want to be at any given moment. And so I think the debate is more about, you know, how seriously do they come into this regular season? The other day I compared them to the 2017 Cavs. Like, I think that this team probably could coast and have, like, you know, a middle of the road defense until the playoffs because they can score enough that it won't matter. And then flip a switch once they get to the playoffs.
They are like those Jordan, the Last Dance Bulls. That era, that second three-peat of Bulls, you know, it was a veteran team. They had won championships together. They knew how to win them. And they didn't care about the regular season. They literally didn't care.
And they added to the IQ every
year. They got, right? They got smarter. They kept getting smarter. Yeah. And they were smart last year with Rondo. It's a different kind of smart with Gasol, but I mean, they add smart guys, which is why I just can't believe Iguodala's not on that team. I mean, he would just be quintessential, you know, end of career Laker, right? I mean, he wanted it.
I asked him a while ago, like, where are you going? He's like, he had on some shoes that looked a little too purple and gold. I was like, are them Lakers shoes? He's like, well, that's when I'm finishing my career.
Right.
I was like, oh, I might write that.
Exactly. So, yeah, no, they're awfully smart. And that's what the Bulls did. The Bulls added smart guys every year, that veterans that knew how to play and knew how to play off of, you know, better players and didn't mind it. And this is what the Lakers are doing. So, I mean, you know, if they stay healthy, they could easily win two or three more in a row. I would not be surprised.
I agree. I think, you know, Luka and Giannis are probably the most likely to lead the next champion after this Lakers team is kind of done. for sure.
Well, I wonder what it's going to have. Dallas is going to have a much better team. All due respect. I mean, you know.
Oh, you know what I mean? No, you meant them together. You meant Giannis and Luka on the same team.
Right, together.
That's right.
And this is the problem.
They're going to get traded to the Knicks.
That's the problem, is that Dallas was you know, planning for Giannis. And they don't have him. And if you look, I think, soberly, what assets can they put together to get whoever, James Harden, Bradley Beal, whoever.
Yeah. Because they still owe picks, right? Yeah. They owe picks to the Knicks.
Yeah. And
they got to figure this out before Luka's next deal kicks in. Because right now they got him on the cheap and they could squeeze somebody in. But they got to figure it out.
I thought you meant he was going to leave and restrict the free agency.
Oh, no.
He's going to take a one-year qualifying offer and get out of Dallas.
They're going to have to add, you know, another star. And how do you do that? They don't have the trough of assets that Boston still has, really, and some of these other teams that will be in the market for a superstar now that the market for 21 is shrinking rapidly.
Well, this is actually where the short tank for them kind of bit them in the ass a little bit. You know, they tank 1 year and they get Luka, and now all of a sudden they don't have, you know, like you're not going to get a good draft pick this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think there's three or four teams in that same boat, you know, that are probably a player or two short. And how do you get that player now? You know, I mean, seriously, I mean, when OKC's got like 25% of all the draft picks in the NBA over the next five years.
I just figured it out. I figured out what the Mavericks do. And this will take us into our last game of the day. Kawhi doesn't exercise that player option.
Oh, man.
Oh, baby.
He wants to go play with Luka.
Some cap space.
There you go.
Look, he even said, hey, I'm focusing on this season.
So he's going back to Texas?
Yes. Going back to Texas.
He can't live in San Diego while playing for the Dallas Mavericks.
Mark Cuban's not going to let him live in San Diego. Mark Cuban's not going to let that happen. You kidding me?
That would be a tough commute.
The Gulfstream 12 is jetted up, ready to go for the daily commute.
Oh my God, it's ready to go. Yeah. And no one's flying these days, so those airstreams are wide open.
That west to east joint. He could make Dallas in 2 hours from LA, couldn't he?
Oh my God. Yeah. That's most a 45-minute flight with these billionaire jets. You kidding me? Oh, you think they go the same speed as our jets? No, not a chance. Not a chance. But we do have Clippers Nuggets. I will say this, okay? Now, this isn't going to be a very popular opinion for the eight Nuggets fans who care about the team over the Broncos in Denver, but I do feel like we're being force-fed Denver as like we have to give them a Christmas game every year now.
I mean,
it feels a little bit like we're force-fed.
They went to the conference finals.
Yeah, they're conference finalists, and they're fun.
What do you want from them?
I mean, Blazers went to the conference finals. This year,
weren't they on
defense.
Christmas last year?
Yeah. Blazers?
Blazers were, right?
I don't know. I can't even tell you who was supposed to be playing tomorrow. I couldn't tell you. But I do feel, it does feel like because, and I think we got this with Utah a little bit. I think they might have played Denver last year on Christmas, but it feels like a little bit of just like, okay, we know these teams are good. They're not going to draw anything. Like, they're not drawing ratings or anything. That's why you throw them up against the Clippers and say, like, hey, let's hope the people want to watch the Clippers.
Well, plus it's a rematch of the 3-1 comeback.
Yeah. I thought Clippers Portland was a better matchup.
Yeah.
I'd rather see Dame going against the dudes. Dame Paul George? Again.
Absolutely.
That would have been sexier. Plus, Dame is just better to watch.
But also, I just realized
Nuggets is a good watch. Nuggets is a good watch.
I enjoy watching Jamal Murray.
You're going to be banished from basketball history.
Oh,
Twitter,
I can't say anything about
Jokic
Oh, is that what it takes? Oh, yeah, Dame's web way better to watch then. That's what it takes. You kidding me?
Oh, my God.
Protect your pockets, nerds. Yes, Dame is more fun to watch than Jokic. It's okay, too. It's just a little bit, but he is. And neither of them play defense, so we don't have anything there.
Protect your pocket.
What is the over under on half court shots Dame will actually take this year?
That non-heats?
Not he's saying he's taking half court shots this year. Five?
I'll say five. Yeah.
Now is this, DA, is this like when James Harden said, I've got this one-legged fadeaway three-point right. shot that you've never seen, and he took one in the preseason, and he missed,
Dame,
and then we never
I
saw it again?
I think Dame is going to take some half-court shots. Now, I don't think it'll be 30,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, because I don't think Dame is a liar. Exactly. Nah,
yeah. Now, what are you saying here, Wiles?
I'm just saying, man.
Damn.
You know, they ran that damn clip of Harden doing that weird shot over and over on the internet. Mind you, the shot, it wasn't really creating an advantage. It just looked stupid, right? Like, it wasn't some new move. At least, like, you know, with the half court shot, it's like, all right, this is a way for me to guarantee a shot with no hands in my face. Harden was just doing a freaking horse move, and people really pretended that he was going to use this in an NBA game. And of course, it never freaking happened.
Just one preseason attempt. That's it. That's it. I think saw it like twice in a WNBA playoff game, right? Like, we never saw it in the NBA though.
But he did get Dior luggage from a friend. Did y'all see that?
Yeah, he's got a lot of baggage right now, Marcus.
Wow.
Wow. That's too far. Okay, that's too far. Now I know where the line is. Now I know where the line is after 13 years of these jokes. with Denver, I think they're going to be worse this year, just because of the defense, unless obviously Michael Porter Jr. becomes unreal, right? Which is possible. He's really talented, but he's still a second year. Well, I guess technically
I think Jamal Murray is
going to
be the ultimate test case of whether or not the bubble was real. Because he was so unbelievable
in
the bubble.
Right.
Historic, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I just want
to.
Him and Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, yeah. I mean, those two were just so. It's like, yo, is this even real? Like, is he going to be this guy? Like, I want to see if he's going to be this guy.
No, I don't think he's going to be that guy.
You were saying it the whole time, DA. Like, that.
No, but I mean, nobody can be that guy. That guy averaged like 40 a game. Right. You know, like, that's not going to happen.
That guy's better than Steph Curry, right?
That
Jamal Murray's a bubble?
Yeah. For that short stretch.
Bubble Murray's better than anybody.
Jamal Murray's insane.
Yeah. But remember, they didn't have Barton, and they barely had Gary Harris there too. So, I mean, that's also a factor in assessing their bubble performance. So, you know.
I would be so much more excited about Denver too if I didn't hear John Hollinger say that Michael Porter Jr. quote had the worst medical he'd ever seen. That's what he said.
Vladdy was, well,
that's
maybe this is,
that's
I don't,
the worst medical I've ever seen.
I don't know if this is an indictment, but but Vladdy was going to take Michael Porter Jr. with the second pick. Like, over Luka, wow. Like, he was, like, they, like all I heard leading up to the draft was Kings are taking Porter, and then he balked because it was just the medicals were that bad.
Somebody told me at that time that Michael Porter's medicals were absolutely fucked.
Oh, my God. Sheesh. So that's why it's like, man, it's tough to get excited about Denver's real potential if it's hinged upon this guy's body cooperating, man. Like, as sad as that is, but I can't get that out of my mind. Yeah. Like, when you hear how people describe his medicals, man, it's scary stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, this is where a team with great, you know, with the great athletic training department, you know, can help you out. I mean, this is where they really earn their keep, you know. So if it's whether it's Alex McKechnie in Toronto or all those years Aaron Nelson down in Phoenix, I mean, this is where they really help you, is to get another two or three quality seasons out of a guy who's got some really effed up, as you guys pointed out, medicals. So we'll see. I mean, they're going to be under the gun. And the bubble was easy compared to, you know, 72 games of travel and, you know, plane rides and all those things. And, you know, if a bad back doesn't get better, fellas, it doesn't ever, never. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. At least we do know, though, Denver is going to be fun to watch because they have no choice but to score.
Yeah, right, right.
Right? Like, they have no choice. Like, they have to put up 140 a night or whatever that's going to be.
They don't have the Plumlee sub for Jokic anymore.
Right. Yeah, who is the guy now?
It's Hartenstein.
He's no longer. He was a.
It's going to be Jokic. Jokic is going to have to play those defensive minutes.
Protection person. Who was put into the NBA to hide him, and now he's not still in the NBA. He is. Right? Hartenstein? Yeah,
I think, honestly, I think they terrible. Wind up with, if it doesn't work out with Jokic, they probably wind up with Millsap as the five in a lot of those minutes, which is, you know, which is fine because
yeah, but
his
he's
limited a, mobility is...
He's in a Weekend at Bernie's situation at this point of his career, right?
Like, exactly. Just... Yeah, it's not good. They don't really wow. have defensive subs, man. Like, Jamichael Green isn't a rim protector, so he doesn't give you an alternative to Jokic, really.
He's a good positional defender.
Right. He could be what Plumlee was, minus the passing on offense.
Right, but he stretches the floor.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they.
But I mean, the Monte Morris Plumlee second units were big.
I suspect
for them.
That they will be in the, if not the buyout market, the trade deadline market. I think you'll see them be very active about getting that type of five, you know, stretchy five that can spread the floor a little bit. You know, they'll find somebody who can do that, and there's guys who can do that. So it's not like. Oh my God, there's no stretch fives in the NBA. There's plenty. You know, they'll find one. I think they'll find one. I think Denver will be fine in that regard. But you're right. I think they are a player short off the bench right now. I agree.
All right. Any final thoughts? Do we want to kill the Clippers real quick before we go? Or we just
No, the Clippers are going to be good.
I think the Clippers are going to be good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think
people are sleeping on the Clippers.
They were good last year.
Like, and look what happened. And I think in a way that I think their approach where, you know, and you were there, Zach, where literally everybody in that damn building just knew they were going to win the championship. Like everybody to a man. I'm talking about from Patrick Beverley to Doc Rivers to anybody in management. Like, everybody on that team just had this sense of, like, if we show up to the playoffs relatively healthy, we're going to beat everybody. Like, they just knew it. Mm-hmm. I think they just took that for granted. And this year, that's just not going to be the case, right? And so I think they're going to have a much better approach. And I think that'll serve them well come the postseason, man. Like, they were so freaking full of themselves last year. And they don't have the luxury of doing that anymore. So, you know, I feel confident that they're going to improve upon that mess that happened in Orlando.
Well, Ty Lue is flexible too.
Yeah. Yeah, Serge is a great pickup.
Ty is a good coach. Like, he's great at adjusting game to game, half to half. Like, all of the stuff that they weren't doing that we kept talking about during the playoffs.
He prioritizes shooting.
He's great at that stuff. And we
another thing
I
like about Ty Lue is if something works, he just keeps doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Like, so you show, they had a play in Cleveland. They ran. It was an elbow rub play, and it wound up with a LeBron lob to Richard Jefferson for an alley-oop. To Richard Jefferson. But it just worked all the time. So they ran it, I don't know, 8 times a game. Like, they would run it and maybe the lob wouldn't be there, but they just kept running that play because teams couldn't stop it.
Helps
and
having so LeBron though in that situation.
It does help have LeBron, right? Like, you don't have that kind of passer.
Fair.
That's still a thing for them, right? Like, they don't have a lead initiator. And I think they're gonna be really, really busy in the trade market.
But Dave,
but they at least have a coach now.
Yeah, they do have $32 million committed to Marcus Morris and Luke Kennard. So.
Yeah, but that's just money, man. Like, Ballmer, like, what does he care?
Yeah, well, there's nothing to Ballmer.
Like, now, you know what that does? That makes it's easier to trade those guys. Like, you can get a better player and attach a pick. So
they can't attach a pick.
It's going to be easy to trade these guys.
Got them all.
that's a good point. But it does. Yeah. I mean, it just, you know, and $16 million for Kennard really isn't that crazy.
He shoots 40%
not in this market.
I will remind you guys.
It's just the health.
His knees are 40% good, too.
Right.
When Ballmer was trying to get a team in Seattle, right, when he was trying to get, you know, the Kings to go to Seattle or an expansion team or whatever. So one of his guys I was talking to, and, you know, people were saying, well, but, you know, the NBA, the price is so, he's going to have to build an arena, and he's going to have to build it by himself, and it's going to cost $2 billion. And the guy said, you realize he's got $25 billion. He's just not doing anything with right now. He's just there for him to do whatever he could, like, buy Liechtenstein if he wanted to right now. He's a bored billionaire. Money doesn't matter to him.
It doesn't matter. Like, that, the $16 million for Luke Kennard each year is not even going to register, but it does register with the luxury tax, the restrictions that come with moving that roster and everything, right? Like that, it'll be an issue.
And it'll register with Trez.
It registers with Trez.
I mean, I think Serge is bringing something tangible to this team. Like, I think that's a big deal. I do think Kennard, I think he's going to be a good player. Plus, you know, Paul George is going to return to his MVP form, like he said. So.
All right, his MVP season.
He's going to return. He's going to be an MVP.
When did he win the MVP? I must have missed that NBA.
They give out MVP at Fresno State? Maybe that was...
I must have missed that episode of NBA season. I'm just like, what?
And I can't think of greater holiday cheer to end this on than making fun of Paul George. So let me thank David Aldridge, Sam Amick, Dave DeFord, Jake King, Waz Lambert, Trevon Edwards, Jade Hoy. I'm Zach Harper. Thank you for subscribing to the Athletic NBA Show podcast. Subscribe to the Athletic. It's the best coverage of sports you will find out there anywhere. A tremendous team of writers and editors and social media and everybody there. So make sure you subscribe. Get the best coverage for this upcoming season. Happy holidays, and we'll see you in the new year. Actually, we'll see you before that.